This week on the show, eBay beats expectations, Amazon puts a scare into textbook sellers, and we'll take a look at how two resellers can go into the same estate sale and find completely different ways to make some money. What is up, Galaxians? Welcome to episode number 238 of the Galaxy CDs Rocks and Flips Reseller Talk podcast. My name is Ryan, and I will be your host. We've got a little bit of reselling news this week, and we're also going to take a look at how bias can affect how some of the reselling news gets reported here and there, but just a quick look at that. We've got some updates from Amazon, and then I'm going to talk a little bit about an experience I had at an estate sale and some of the stuff that's sold over the last couple of weeks. And another video that I saw from a fellow YouTuber here in the greater Cincinnati area. So let's get right in to the reselling news.
News updates.
So eBay reported their fourth quarter and full year 2023 results, and they beat expectations. According to this article, this is the original press release from ebayinc.com. Revenue of $2.6 billion, which was up 2%. Gross merchandise volume of $18.6 billion, which was also up 2%. So that's good news over at eBay. They have also, in February, the board of directors declared a cash dividend for the first quarter of 27 cents per share, which was an 8% increase from the prior quarterly dividend. So if you're a shareholder, congratulations. The board has also authorized an additional $2 billion stock repurchase program, increasing the company's remaining stock repurchase authorization to $3.4 billion. So with our hard-won fees lining their coffers with a very good fourth quarter, they're going to do a bunch of stock buybacks. So the rich get richer. For the full year, their financial reports revenue was $10.1 billion, which was up 3%. From the previous year, gross merchandise volume, however, was down just slightly at $73.2 billion, down 1%. Some interesting tidbits. We've talked about this, the last several times eBay has reported quarterly results. eBay's first-party advertising products, which are your promoted listings and promoted listings advanced and those sorts of things, delivered $368 million of revenue in the fourth quarter, which was up 33%. So big increase in their advertising take, which is not surprising. They continue to push higher and higher recommended rates for those promoted listings. They're running a special right now, a couple different ones, I think, on promoted listing advanced to try to get people to use those programs as well. So it's another way for them to generate essentially free revenue without having to do a whole lot extra. So good on them, I guess, but it's certainly gotten a little more expensive to do business over there. The company's total advertising offerings generated $393 million of revenue in the fourth quarter, which was 2.1% of their total gross merchandise volume. So they do factor that into their total sales. It's not just the stuff they sell, and better than 2% of all of their gross revenue is from just advertising. So they are also projecting a 2% increase for the start of 2024. So their stock rose on all that news and everything seemed to be really rosy, but you would not necessarily know that depending on what sites you go to get this news. So I'm just going to hit a couple of these real quick. I'm not going to link to these. I just wanted to share these as examples because as I was researching this, it was interesting to me the difference in how this was framed on different sites. Yahoo Finance headline, eBay Inc. just recorded a 14% earnings per share beat. Here's what analysts are forecasting next. So they're highlighting a pretty big beat of what the analysts actually expected eBay to earn. Here's another one. This is on Digital Commerce 360. eBay revenue, gross merchandise volume grow in Q4 2023 despite challenges. So here's one where they say, again, the key takeaway is that there's growth even though there were some challenges. Here's the one that gets me, and I'm a little hesitant to do this because I use this site a lot. E-commerce Bytes is my go-to. They do a really good job of consolidating a lot of reselling news all in one place, but they are a little notorious for being particularly anti-eBay. And here's their headline. eBay reports flat Q4 sales and then reveals new search ad carousel. So they say eBay was flat for Q4 when, granted, a 2% increase is not enormous, but it is not flat. It is an increase. E-commerce Bytes is notoriously fast to point out when eBay's numbers are down. So this is the kind of stuff, not to excuse what eBay did, these are the kinds of articles that led to the harassment campaign that eBay has been fined $3 million for and all the rest of it. The moral of the story, I guess, is just be cognizant of the sites that you visit when you're looking for information, and maybe look at multiple sites to find out what is really going on, because every site has their own editorial bias and puts their own spin on the news. And right there in three headlines, you have essentially three different takes. One who highlighted a particularly glowing aspect of their results, one who was fairly neutral, and one who essentially accused eBay of not having any success at all. I just found that really interesting. You can let me know if you're watching on YouTube down in the comments below what you think of that, but I just thought that was really, really interesting. The last bit of news here, Amazon, I was tipped off by a viewer on this about 10 days ago or so, and it has continued to kind of bubble up. And this article is also over on E-commerce Bytes. I'll, of course, link to this in the show notes in the video description down below. But Amazon scared booksellers with what they're now calling an email mix-up. Amazon notified sellers of a restriction on their ability to sell textbooks, which began on February 26th. But when alarmed sellers posted about the restrictions on the Amazon boards, a company moderator said the notice had been sent in error to some sellers. On February 26th, a seller started a thread in Thergo textbook sales and pasted the following text of an email they had received. As part of our ongoing efforts to provide the best possible customer experience, we have implemented additional restrictions for textbook products effective 2/26/24. You will not be able to list the affected products, and your listings will be removed. This action does not impact your account health. My understanding is that some sellers did actually have their listings removed as a result of this. Not all, apparently, but some did have their listings actually taken down. The email went on to say, "How do I reinstate my listings? You are not approved to list textbook products, and we are currently not accepting applications." So you can see why this would frighten a lot of sellers, particularly, obviously, those of textbooks over on Amazon. This was a really potentially a big deal. The email goes on, "Where your listings removed as a result of an error, if you believe your products have been misclassified within a certain category or subcategory that requires approval, please contact selling partner support with evidence such as product pictures to support this claim." It goes on to essentially say that you were going to have to pay to have those items shipped from the FBA warehouses back to you to figure out what you were going to do with. They politely said at the end, "We're here to help." Oh, my goodness. Some sellers who received the notice said they'd been selling books on Amazon for years. One said for the past 22 years. And another said they'd been selling on Amazon since 1999 and had no clue how to proceed. Some began theorizing, and the person who pointed this out to me did the same, that this email was an error, that it had only been meant actually for sellers in Brazil, because at the bottom, the footer of the email indicated a link to Amazon.br, apparently, rather than to Amazon.com. Sellers began reporting on February 29th that the email had been sent to certain sellers in ERA, pasting the following message they received. "Hello, the email you received on 2/26 titled Important Information About Textbook Listings was sent to you in error. We are sorry for any inconvenience this has caused. There was no impact to your textbook listings. However, on Friday evening, a seller posted they were again having some issues. Looks like I may be in the minority here, but I also got ungated when everyone else did, went to upload all of the previous restricted books without issue, only to find out later I got gated again. The ungating lasted for about 24 hours. Am I the only one?" So apparently there are still some people having issues with this. You can let me know again in the comments down below if this affected you, and if so, how, and if it did, has it been resolved to your satisfaction? But that was definitely attention grabbing. I don't know. Ultimately, there was no confirmation in any of this whether this was meant just for sellers in Brazil or if this maybe was something that just wasn't supposed to come out just yet that got sent out early in error. It's really unclear what the mistake was and what happened here. So if you're a textbook seller over there, just be aware. Keep your eye on your listings and make sure they're still good. That's about it for the reselling news. Pretty light week this week. Not a lot going on. The eBay quarterly results were interesting, but that's about it. So let's get into some what sold. So, some books and some other stuff this week, and then what sold. It was not a particularly great week. If you follow me over on Instagram, I sold, I think, 85 listings and only posted 90. I was, you may be able to hear it still in my voice. I was down for a couple of days with the flu, which is going around these here parts. And so I didn't get quite as much stuff done as I normally do. I don't know if that slight downturn in my listings affected my sales for the week, but they were not that great. But there are a few things here to go over. This first one, Order of Battle, U.S. Army, World War II by Shelby L. Stanton. This was an illustrated hardcover with a fairly beat up dust jacket from 1984. I picked this up at an estate sale for $1. It sold on a best offer over on eBay for $20 plus media mail shipping. This was a wild one. I pick occasionally if I can get a good deal. If there's a box of just like paper ephemera, I have bought old high school and college sports programs. I have bought advertising brochures and religious tracts. And sometimes you can get boxes that have hundreds of these things in them and they'll sell them to you for $5 or $10. So you end up with like less than a nickel a piece in these brochures and things. Here was one where I bought a big box of stuff and I got some 1970s era General Motors sales brochures. And I lotted these things up in a lot of five from 1974, 76, 77, 78, and 79. I had them listed, I think, for $29.99. And it was part of my sale that's going on right now. It was 30% off. So these sold, the five of these, for $20.99 plus first class shipping. These were, again, 5 cents a piece to me. So I got a quarter in this and sold it for $20.99. So that's one of those things a lot of people probably wouldn't want to take the time to mess with, but it's an area where I find opportunity to make a little bit of money. A cool book from 1977, the Franklin Library Stories of F. Scott Fitzgerald, a limited edition illustrated hardcover in a big, heavy leather cover. Picked this up at an estate sale, gosh, maybe 3 months ago for $2. This sold for $22.99 plus media mail shipping over on eBay. Another book on eBay. This was from a big lot of books that I owned for about 16 cents a piece. The Measurement of Appearance by Richard S. Hunter. This was a 1975 textbook from John Wiley and Sons, a first edition. I had it listed, I think, for about $32. It was part of my 30% off promotion and sold for $24.49, plus, again, media mail shipping. I've talked about this sale a few times in the past. Was a estate sale where there was a lot of African-American history and particularly things from the Virginia area. This is a book by James Randall and Anna Gilmer, illustrated kind of a big 8.5 by 11 paperback from 1989 called Black Past. It was a review of buildings and clubs and things like that of African-American origin in the late 1800s through the mid-1900s. Published in 1989 in Charleston, West Virginia. Really interesting piece. I bought all of those books for like $1 a piece. This sold on eBay for $24.99 plus media mail shipping. For sale of the week over on Etsy, I talk about these science fiction digests all the time. If I can buy them in bulk and get them for 50 cents or less a piece, I will usually buy them as often as I can find them. This was the Magazine of Fantasy and Science Fiction from May of 1963. This was a Ray Bradbury kind of special edition. He had two stories in this particular one, which is why it's so unusual. Most of these sell anywhere from $7 to $10, maybe a little bit more. This one was, because it's fairly scarce and it was in really good condition, this sold for $24.99 plus media mail shipping. This is one that I had picked up for in a big lot of, gosh, several hundred for about a quarter a piece. So here we're going to get into a little bit of a story about, I mentioned that in the intro, how two sellers can go into the same exact estate sale and find completely different ways to make money. So I have been talking about this sale that I went to about 3 weeks ago, where I picked up all of those anime and manga and all of that stuff and just have been making a killing. We'll hit this item first. This is Tenjo Tenge, rounds 1 through 8, fights 1 through 26. It's, I think it was like 8 DVDs, anime. Individually, not worth a whole bunch, but this was the complete set. It wasn't in a box. They were just loose. I found these in multiple boxes and managed to scrounge up all 8 of them. These sold on Mercari for $32. I'm into these for about 50 cents a piece, so I got $4 in this and made $32 free shipping. The reason I brought all that up is about 10 days ago, Cincinnati Picker posted a video. The title of it was, I think, this sale was a scam. And as soon as I saw the thumbnail, I knew it was the sale where I had picked up all of these manga and anime DVDs. So I was really curious what his take was on. Obviously, he spoiled the lead with the title because it was clear he thought the sale was a scam. And if you watch that episode that I put out where I first started talking about these, he and I had kind of the same opinion of this sale. We walked in and it was just a mess. It looked like a tornado had gone through this house. It was very disorganized, very dirty. It was just chaos. There was stuff everywhere. Additionally, on the main floor, everything that had been priced individually, and I mentioned this in my first go-round with this as well, and John, Cincinnati Picker, also highlighted it. Everything that was individually priced was way, way overpriced. There was an OG Xbox that had like $90 on. I mean, it was just absolutely insane, the pricing on this stuff. Went downstairs, not so much stuff down there that was individually priced, but that's where it was really messy. There were probably easily over 100 boxes just crammed full of miscellaneous stuff. John's take on it was essentially that it really wasn't worth his time to go through all of those. His business model is different than mine. I spent 2 hours going through all those boxes. As you may recall, I mentioned I got 79 items at that sale and I paid $40. I was concerned when I had my stack, based on the pricing I saw in the individual stuff, that it was going to be really expensive, that they were going to want $200 or whatever for my big stack of goodies. She said $40, and I'm like, count me in. I'll take it all. And so it was worth it for me to spend the 2 hours to go through the stuff. And I have already made, just in this What Sold segment alone today, we're going to have probably over $250 worth of stuff from that sale. To date, I'm probably in the neighborhood of $900 already in gross sales from that original investment of 2 hours and $40-odd dollars. And there's probably another $400 or $500 worth of stuff yet to be sold. So for me, and I left this comment on that video for John, this thing was a gold mine. It was some work. I did spend a couple hours arms deep in these nasty boxes full of crap, but I did find a bunch of stuff. One of the things I talk about on this show pretty regularly is that one of the beauties about reselling is that there are so many different ways that you can make money. There are different business models and you can run your business however you see fit. John did not find this sale to be particularly fruitful. I think he bought maybe half a dozen or 10 things. He's going to make a little bit of money on that, but he made a terrific video that is going to generate for him probably significant income. It's, as of today, when I checked, it's got 22,000 views already. So he still found a way to turn what looked like a bad experience into a profitable one. I guess the moral of the story is there is opportunity everywhere, and there are different ways that you can maximize it. In this case, his way was to make a good video, cherry pick a few things that he was able to get out of there with, and get on with life. For me, it was spend the 2 hours, dig through the boxes, and unearth some gold. And I have had multiple items. We're going to have more today that were over $50 gross sales that I have 50.1 cents or whatever it is in. So If you're watching a YouTuber or listening to a podcast and they say something to the effect that this is how you have to do this to make money in reselling, I would I would disagree with that. There are multiple ways to skin this cat. There are many different ways you can make money, whether it be through YouTube, through whatnot, and bulk sales. I was talking to an estate seller the other day who is doing really well selling items on whatnot. Other sellers don't do well on whatnot at all. So it's just a matter of finding your groove, your niche, and then sticking with it and doing whatever the level of work is that's required to make that successful. In my case, that sale, arguably the best sale I've been to so far in 2024. In John's case, he thought it was a scam, but we both ended up in the end finding a way to make some money. So I just thought that was really interesting. As soon as that video popped up and I saw the thumbnail, I was like, I know that sale. Speaking of, here's another one. Dragon Ball Z, History of Trunks, the uncut English and original Japanese versions. DVD, same lot, 50 cents, roughly $32.99 plus medium mail shipping, sold over on eBay. Back over to Etsy, an old book, The King of the Golden City, an allegory for children by Mother Mary Loyola from 1924. Hardcover religious book in really good condition. This was part of a big estate lot that I bought for, 5 cents a piece. So pretty decent. Sold on Etsy for $34.99 plus shipping. I buy these pretty much every time I can find them. Greenberg's Guides. They do specialty guides primarily for vintage, like Lionel trains. This one is for Ives trains, O-Gauge, big model railroad type stuff. These books, especially if you can find the hardcover versions, are usually pretty good money. This was Greenberg's Guide to Ives Trains, Volume 2, O-Gauge 2nd Edition, illustrated hardcover from 1992 in really, really nice condition. I had it listed for $39.99 or best offer. It sold on an offer of $35 over on eBay. Back over to Macari and back to John's favorite sale. This is a official game guide for the Game Boy Advance game Fire Emblem. This was buried in the bottom of one of those boxes that I dug through. There were a bunch of game guides at that sale. I bought probably 8 or 10 of them. A lot of them are $10 or $12 guides. This one is particularly difficult to find. The Nintendo Power Fire Emblem Official Guide for Game Boy Advance from 2003. This sold on Mercari for $45 with free shipping. So I had it listed elsewhere for $39.99 plus shipping. I'm still doing free shipping on Mercari and just adding that into the price over there. It's just more convenient for me to do it that way. So, but here's another case where rooting through a box, finding a random game guide cost me 50 cents and turned into $45. Oh gosh, what do you know? More stuff from that sale. John, are you watching? Oh my gosh. The King of Fighters, Another Day, KOF. This was a another anime. This one was in Japanese. Really nice condition in its slipcover. Very difficult to find. I had this listed, I believe, for $80. I received an offer over on Mercari for $68 with free shipping. Again, it was a 50-cent item that I found buried in a box. I'm telling you, anime can be really, really good stuff. $68 from, again, 50 cents. And fittingly, from that same sale, this was the only thing I bought there that was not either a manga book or a DVD. This was a new in its package framed piece of art from Shantae, Genie and Hero. It was a 3D lenticular artwork. So when you move it, it's got those like grooves in the plastic and it's a three-dimensional thing that kind of moves around. Really, really neat piece. I think this was probably a loot crate item or something like that at one point. I couldn't really find many comps on it when I first started looking at the sale, but it was unique enough that I went ahead and bought it again. It was part of that lot, 79 items for $40, so I'm into it for just over 50 cents. This sold on Mercari as well for $79.99 plus customer paid priority mail shipping. So again, just to go back to that point I made earlier, two sellers can go into the same sale and have completely different experiences and still both come out smelling like a rose if you do it right. So don't be afraid to stick to your guns. You know, if you're a bookseller, you sell books, don't, I go on these, some of these videos and I see people talking all the time about no money in books, no money in books. And I shake my head at that because I'm making a really nice living doing nothing pretty much but selling books and the occasional, you know, random piece of artwork or DVDs. So Find your niche, stick to your guns, and make it work for you. You can absolutely do that. That's going to wrap up this week's episode. As always, I thank you for spending a little bit of your time with me. If you got something out of this episode, if you could do me a favor, please whack that thumbs up button. It helps the YouTube algorithm, which has been very kind to me here lately. I mentioned last week, views were continuing to grow. Last week's episode was one of the best viewed, best listened to episodes ever on this channel, and it has actually gotten enough views to throw me into main tier of monetization. So I can start raking in all those pennies for making this show. So, but I appreciate, again, everybody who has reached out over the years. Like I said, 238 regular episodes plus some specials and some other odds and ends. Been at this for about 4 years. It has been a long, long slog to get fully monetized. But I'm pretty excited about it, and I absolutely appreciate everybody who has ever reached out and spent some time checking out one of these crazy videos. So with that, I'm going to close for the week. Hope everybody is having a successful week and is ready for spring. And now it's time to sell. Thanks, guys.
You have been listening to the Galaxy CDs Rocks and Flips Reseller Talk podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we will catch you again next time.